to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight we're expecting to have another awesome night right here on the program. You're listening to Hip Hop National. Tonight, guys, I'm going to tell you we're going to be talking about what is the future direction of hip hop. And before we get into the topic, we're going to go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to come together collectively as a community to communicate about another interesting topic that impacts this industry. Lord, we ask that you cover every ear and every mind that is tuned in, locked and loaded to the program. And we ask that you bless every ear and every mind of all the people who's in touch with this program. In Jesus' name, as we pray, amen. Tonight, guys, we're talking about the future direction of hip-hop. Hip-hop has, you know, undoubtedly made an impact on the music industry in spite of the early perception of many music tastemakers that once thought that hip-hop would just fade away. It just will disappear. Now, 40 years later, hip-hop has proven itself as and its staying power. It certainly has earned its crown, wouldn't you say? The hip-hop, in my opinion, deserves its own Hall of Fame, where artists are being honored for the track record of work that they have put in, that the legacy, the legends that have existed among us. Hip-hop, if you guys can remember, there was like four elements that really made hip-hop. And I would say that was MCing, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti. But later on, I say some other elements was added to that, such as sampling, beatboxing, fashion, the language, the knowledge, and the entrepreneurship. It has turned into a real market. It has turned into a real cultural movement, I would say. Tonight, we're going to get into that. We're going to discuss it. How hip-hop has bridged the gap in our society, and how it has imperative to try to maintain and sustain the movement and keep it going. And we're looking at today's hip-hop, the past hip-hop, and where's hip-hop going in the future. So we're going to go ahead and go to the lines, and I'm going to open up. I got Twyla on with me. Twyla, welcome to Hip Hop National.
Hi. Hello.
Twyla, where are you calling in from?
I'm from Wilmington. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
All right. Wilmington, Delaware in the house, guys. Twyla, what's your thoughts of tonight's topic? Do you remember the culture, how hip-hop started to impact us? Do you remember it when it was start breaking into the industry?
Yes, I definitely do. And,
were you east? Are you from the East Coast, or are you from the West Coast?
East Coast.
East Coast. So you remember the days when it actually started to open the door for other rappers and that move, that hot movement. Tell me about it. Tell me what you remember of it, and you know how you see the direction then versus the direction now.
When I felt it was when it first came on the scene, the hip hop and the rap and everything, I mean, it was awesome. It was something different, you know. It was so different, and it was so, you know, the energy that came with it and everything. It was like, I mean, it was just, you know, to me it was awesome. I loved it when they first came out. Who was it that kind of brought the rap to this scene? Oh God, what's his name? Help me out.
You're looking at, like, DJ Herc, I don't know if you remember, but it was this one song that came out. Curtis Blow. Now.
Yeah, like Curtis
Sugar
Blow.
Sugar Hill.
Yeah.
That's what you're familiar with.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
You're familiar
and,
with the Sugar Hill Gang. So,
right, the Sugar Hill Gang. I'm familiar with all of that, and you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it was awesome. It was nothing like it, and it was new to us. You know, it was something new to us, and like I said, it just came with such an excitement, the energy, and you know, the music and the dancing and everything. It was I loved it. I must say I loved it. And I think it's hard for us to really. For that, from the era that I came into, what it is now, it's such a big thing, and it's hard for a lot of us to pull into today's music. You know, I mean, in today's hip hop and where it went from where it was. The way it looks, it's hard for me to determine where it's going. It's kind of scary from where it's at now to where it will go in the future. And I don't know, my mind seems like it just can't be comprehend the level of where it will go in the next 10 years from where it's at now, because it's hard for me to really understand where it's at now, where the music at, and some, like, you know, we didn't talk about the lyrics and all that. It seems like some cleaning up needs to be done to bring back a lot of the respect and that I feel those we need in the music industry, and you know, I mean, we put the lyrics and everything, you know.
Okay, and I got my boy Raw Dog in the cut. What's up, Raw Dog? It's the guy who hold it down every day with me, right here. You got Raw Dog, welcome to the show, my man. What is the future direction of hip-hop? Where is that, where it was back then versus where it's at now? You got the floor.
Well, you know, I'm going to say, you know, I learned a lot, you know, in understanding the different regions and the point of origin and how the culture and the music spread from regions, but it was very slow. See, I'm on the West Coast. You guys are on the East Coast. And so, you know, there was a time span that we would only get, you know, someone like Sugar Hill. You know, the other artists that came before that, because of the region that you're located in, on the corridor going down the East Coast, I can understand how the word spread and the music spread. But, you know, the West Coast was totally different. You know, we were doing things like the East Bay Grease sound, you know, yeah, which mm-hmm. you guys are probably not even familiar with. You know, we were into a different listening era at when hip hop started, you know, and you have to realize, you know, the radio stations really didn't carry much mm-hmm. across the United States of something that was happening in the East Coast necessarily to the West Coast, you know, because what we had was at that time was the era of R&B, you know, that had migrated from soul to R&B. And there were crossovers going on, like Joe Cocker and what have you, and Mad Dogs and Englishmen. So there was crossover with R&B into what you might call the acceptance by all races during the 60s. So when we talk about hip-hop and what have you, you know, just the education alone to understand that, you know, there was a wedge put into the media so that it wouldn't spread. You know, there was someone that was rejecting hip-hop music because of copyrights and what have you. So it wasn't, we weren't able to get it on terrestrial radio as an influence to change our thought process and what we wanted to hear. So, you know, I'll get into that a little later. I appreciate hip-hop. I think the evolution of hip-hop is changed drastically so that it's a continental type of hip-hop rather than a regional at this point, where you have West Coast rappers doing things with East Coast rappers. And the funny part about it is that if you talk to someone in, well, like you, Poetic, down in Florida, you have a certain accent that is in your voice. You know, you talk to someone in New York.
They ain't got no accent, man.
No. But listen, you talk to someone in New York, and they have their own accent from their region. So when you start to understand the influence of hip-hop and it being localized or generalized to the East Coast corridor, you start to understand that, yeah, okay, there was a divide. You know, I wish I had been back in that era to have experienced those young artists that were changing and bringing it in, but my exposure wasn't to that. And, I regret that because it took courage, you know, and it took talent. And it was new and innovative. And, you know, the way they described it to us West Coast individuals was hip-hop was created because during that time they cut back on the musical training programs for people to be musicians. And the East Coast young people weren't going to let music die. So they started using turntables and what have you because they weren't given the instruments in school. That's the way it was explained to us on the West Coast. Now, you know, let's give it back to you because I think this is a real good subject. I think the history needs to be heard because I'm on the West Coast, and, you know, and I can appreciate this conversation.
Well, actually, you're right. I heard it, put it this way, I can't say you're right, but I heard it the same way. I heard that, you know, because the instruments were being taken from the schools, the hip-hoppers started to, you know, they started just doing it off the rhythms. And then they started rhyming off those rhythms and started, you know, that movement that way. And then it was... But I'll be honest with you, I don't have facts on that. We're supposed to have some guests that are supposed to come in tonight, and so far they're not here. But they were, you know, some expert guests to actually give us some of that insight there, and that's what we're looking for. So if they just in the event that they are on someone's on Facebook listening, call 213-559-2995. That, again, number again is 213-559-2995. Anyway, well, let's just get into this, though. Okay. Let's go back when you first heard it, Raw Dog. You said you heard Sugar Hill. Actually, be honest with you, for me, Sugar Hill was the first impressionable rap group that I heard, actually, because you said so yourself, Twyla, that you also heard Sugar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yes.
On a national scale, they were the ones that made the impact on a global scale mm-hmm. with Rapid Delight.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
But now here's the question.
And then from there, say it again?
Here's the question, okay. But before I heard them, I heard NWA.
You heard them what?
Okay, I heard NWA before I heard Sugar Hill.
You heard
and
them
let me tell you how,
before Sugar Hill?
Well, no. Why I say this is this. I was in California. I went to California at the time. And that's when I heard NWA because I happened to be in L.A. during that time, and I went to a swap meet.
It's kind of a distance between them two, ain't it?
Well, now, but listen now. That's how I heard them. But Sugar Hill, I actually heard over the terrestrial radio waves.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, okay, but they were slow in hearing Sugar Hill. I think I saw them on a show on television, and I'm wondering if Sugar Hill was on Don Cornelius and Soul Train, you know. But it was in that way we were introduced to the East Coast hip hop artists.
Okay.
It wasn't because they became on somebody like Ed Sullivan or The Tonight Show or anything like that, you know. And so the media stopped and put a wedge from that happening because they had no control in that.
Yeah, but they really wasn't in agreement with it at the time, because even Don Cornelius wasn't really into the whole rap scene.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of fighting it.
And you're right on that. See, I don't remember whose show I saw them on, but I remember seeing Sugar Hill on TV, and they were fantastic. But it was as though, you know, rap wasn't new.
Close to a decade almost passed by the time NWA surfaced.
That's what I was saying.
But now think about television.
No, but I just want you to know, NWA came out like in 1986.
Right. It was earlier than that.
No,
wait a minute now.
Stop.
I said I heard them at a swap meet. Now, you know what you're reflecting on? You're in Florida. So if in 83, 82, I heard them at a swap meet, and not over the radio, but at a swap meet, they were selling vinyls and tapes. It took how long for it to get over where you are? Because, see, I understand it. I'm trying to tell you there was a divide. You know, there was a divide Snoop Dogg and Death Row went back east for some type of situation, and they got in an argument with the East Coast rappers. There's been a divide that you have to realize that we didn't have the flood of East Coast on the West Coast.
Yeah,
but you know what, you're right about that. Because I remember even at one time I had family that was in, like, Alabama. And a lot of the music that we had even up here, they hadn't even heard it there.
Yeah.
So there was, and you know, we laughed at it because, you know, how you say, oh, my God, they're so country. They slow. You know how I used to say they slow. They ain't got this. They don't have that. And in some cases, they didn't. Them, some of this music, it took a while to get to certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it did some slow traveling to a lot of different places.
Music actually moves like that. They move it. They move it at sometimes, you know, one region at a time, and they, you know, and
true.
And they work that record in that region, and then they'll pull out from that region and go out. And
but
sometimes,
then where it's
sometimes
being
it
produced,
fizzle out before it actually becomes, you know.
But see, basically, we're like the East Coast and the West Coast are promoting soul, so yeah, we get it immediately. But unlike a lot of other places,
now, here's the catch. Now, what you get, we get, because you have the Internet. You have a media that will stream and not put a barrier up.
Right.
See, but when you had terrestrial radio, you know, what I heard in my city, you could have never have heard. You know, I mean, they were only of certain local regions, and if you left out of that region, you lost that station.
And I know that for a fact.
Yeah,
that is definitely true.
So when you start to think about it, it was controlled to a certain extent. they, you know, when you say that word underground really means something.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that they were not allowed to go in and being played on Tourette. Now, you got to remember, if they were using samples and other people's music, they didn't have copyrights.
Mm-hmm.
How's terrestrial radio going to play something that is not copyrighted or BMI or any of those things? You know, you see what I'm saying? In other words, mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying, but you have to think about, yeah, they weren't totally legal.
Well, it didn't really become, don't get me wrong, it didn't become an issue until after they realized that these guys are sampling people, taking people's music. And then,
okay, but now wait a minute. But you don't realize it was serious. That's why you might have heard it on the East Coast, and we didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yeah.
It was serious enough that it was the wedge. It became more public because we started asking questions. Why aren't we hearing that? Okay, mm-hmm. Copyrights became a point of, well, this is why. We can't play it on these stations because they don't own it. See, there's always a reason to block something that the industry had no control over. You've made statements on the program that they run terrestrial radio. Okay? You the knowledge of terrestrial radio and how they make their money from playing artists and how artists earn their money by the plays that are on the radio, you start to realize that, well, these guys didn't have a copyright, so they never could have been played. Whether they spoke it out loud or not, they had a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I respect that point of it, but see, as people migrated, so did their music in their boxes as they came. You know, they'd pull out a song and go, you guys aren't playing this up here? And we go, no. You know, if you say artists like Bobby Blue Bland, and you say that to people of my age up here, they go, Bobby Blue Bland, okay, I kind of remember him. But if you say it to somebody down south,
mm-hmm.
everybody knows him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trip about how regional the music industry only allowed music to go. You know, I asked you earlier today, I said, well, who was the first hip-hop artist to get a Grammy? And I believe
Will
Smith.
Wait, hold on. Do you know who it was, Swallow?
The first hip-hop artist to get a Grammy?
Twyla, I helped you out. Did you hear what I said?
No.
All right. Hey, wait. Don't answer that yet. 323-392, please state your name, where you're calling in from.
Yo, it's Chris Pringle.
Chris, what's happening, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Huh?
I'm listening. I got my ears on. I know my man's not on the phone, so I'm here to represent until he get on the phone.
All right. Not a problem, Chris. Not a problem. Chris, right now, I want to hear your take, man. What is the future direction of hip-hop based on where we at, the state where we're at now to where we were back then? But before you go to that, who was the first rap artist to get a Grammy?
Run DMC.
Was it?
Chris, he told me it was Will Smith.
It was Will Smith. With Parents Just Don't Understand.
No.
You for real? I ain't get that one.
See, y'all gonna make me do my homework.
All right, let's go.
Go look. I'm gonna tell you like this. The first rap group that ever rapper, hip hop, mm-hmm. was Run DMC to get a Grammy.
Now,
and that was before Parents Don't Come Out.
Okay.
Let's see. That was before Parents.
it was Walk This Way was the song, and the album itself was Run's House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm glad I say what it was. Let me. I'm doing my search as you go. But anyway, all right, Chris. From where we were then to where we are now, what do you see the future?
Well, you know, I got a brother here with me. His name is Pete Gates, and we're both here. We both can chime in and talk about the history of
hip-hop. He need to call in on his own separate phone. Very important.
Well, we're on speaker, so we right here. So,
as far as it goes on,
hip hop is diluted right now, and it's the rap music game. As far as the industry, entertainment industry, it is digital, and it is all translated into point of what's going on digital media. Nine times out of ten, since we are limited on brick-and-mortar stores, unless you're in a major chain or you have a mom-and-pop, and then mom-and-pops are very far and few, there's hard to sell hard copies. So everything is downloads and hand-to-hand. I think that the actual industry itself, as far as executives that's promoting and working those projects, they have no clue. I think that they forget that you have to go to these radio stations. I think there's a whole mixture right now to where the gap has gotten bigger instead of getting smaller. And the Internet itself has only based itself to be a percentage aspect instead of just the overall whole kit and caboodle. You got to think about it. You go to the record store now, you can't find those new artists, those independent artists up and coming. Why? Because they have to go through the system. But you can get online and you can find everything that's popping and all those sites that automatically, CD Baby, iTunes, Rhapsody, all that right there is just going out, is actually opening the door to sell product, but it's only selling online. You're missing a whole lot of consumers directly because everybody's still not on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what goes on, there's no touring facilities. There's no open individual facilities that's automatically, you know, advantageously supporting those rap artists unless you're in with the big machine. The record companies are not record companies, no. They're media sources now. So all they do is automatically set up with, you know, what they got as overall package. If they can find an independent label that's already making records and selling records, they scoop them up and put them up under the umbrella. All right, they scoop them up and put them up under the umbrella, and then they automatically distribute and support. All they do is put a little bit of marketing dollars behind them, and then it's supposed to automatically push them in certain directions. The videos are cheaper. The radio support is strong. It's more expensive. And just like I said to you before, now, as far as where the direction is going, it's the day and the age of the independent. Because now you have an open window to because of the Internet, you have an open door to actually create and support, which means you have to get out in the streets yourself now and promote those records. You have to go out there and do what we did back in the day, is go sit at the radio station and go sit at the retailers, the ones that's working something. And then at the same time, you got to be able to be creative and understand that you're not just only going through the actual normal ranks anymore. You got to create those avenues to support. You got to build your own actual events. You got to build your own venues. You got to do all that stuff yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you said you had somebody else there with you.
Well, you know, I let him go because I know I'm long-winded, and I could have actually talked to you for another hour just talking about this, because one of the issues that
we got to go to a break.
Just like I said, I got a lot to talk about right now. So I got the Hip Hop Hall of Fame that you were talking about, and I could talk about that a little bit. And that's the reason why the Hip Hop Hall of Fame is involved, because they're setting programs to do what's going around in the communities itself and try to advantageously create whatever the history is to support what's going on with you guys, like you guys are doing right now. You're talking about the actual information that needs to be sold. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be told. It needs to be sold and not to be told. So we're selling it back to the community. We're putting it back where it needs to be. And at the same time, just like you ask questions about trivia, you can go to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame and automatically go on the webpage and just grab it up, and you can see who was the first actual rap artist to create, get their first Grammy. You know what
now,
I'm saying?
Wait, I just wanted to say this. I hate to interrupt you, but I just looked that up. Run DMC was the first rap group to actually make a gold album. And they was the first, they were nominated for the Grammy Awards. It never said that they won it.
Okay, so who was
sorry.
It?
I'm just sorry. Huh? I'm trying to
well,
tell you, parents just, it was Will Smith with Parents Just Don't Understand.
I beg to differ.
All right, look it, well, hey, I ain't going to argue with you. Just look it up. All right. Anyway,
it's not an argument. It's a point about, you know, as far as how records was working and what the first record that was that sold the most, and if they were nominated, the first nomination might have been there, but I know they won 2 years in a row.
They were the first rap group to ever sell a gold album.
Okay, well, I might have got it mixed up, but I knew it was
that. And they were the first one to earn a platinum record, too. The first to earn multi-platinum. But as far as Grammy, they were the first. They were nominated for the Grammy Award.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway,
if it was Will Smith, man, there's so many records that were in between that were so hot that sold records,
but they were nominated. Now listen to me, Chris. I totally agree with you, but it took, as you know, with everything, it takes America some time to catch on.
You are right. It took the right man instead of the wrong man, right?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It was when they were ready to embrace it, and they embraced Parents Just Don't Understand, and they embraced it, and they gave them a nomination. I'm not saying that others wasn't deserving in the past, but it was just when America.
Because if it was up to us, we wouldn't have embraced that song, right? I mean, to the fullest.
I'm just saying.
Lord Jesus, when Poetic is right, he just he forgets about the commercials. He forgets about everything.
All right, hey guys, we got to go to a commercial. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all listening to Hip Hop National Radio. You see how it is? Sometimes you forget to do what you're supposed to do, and then you got your people that get on you for it, too. Anyway,
hey,
guys, yes, sir.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I had somebody come in and come be a special guest real quick for you. This is Skilo from the infamous Skilo I Wish back in the day. So I understand what you're saying, the right man and the wrong man. So, Skilo, what up?
Hey, what up, man?
What's up, Skilo? Skilo.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm happy that you join us. Just give me a quick minute, and I'll be back in just a moment, okay? Just
no
to
problem.
Let you know. All right, guys, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Just to let you guys know, Hip Hop National is inviting you to upload your music at www.hiphopnational.com. We are also putting together a mixtape. We want you to go sign up at www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music so you can get on our next mix. Our first mixtape that we're getting ready to release. Just to let you guys know, if you know anybody who's out there, let's make it happen. Let's do it as soon as we possibly can right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Call in at call in right now, 213-559-2995. All right, guys, I'm not going to a literal commercial. That was the commercial. In fact, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. What is the future direction of hip hop? All right, Skilo, what's happening, man?
Hey, what up, homie?
Talk to me,
hello?
Skilo. We just heard
can
from
you hear
Chris.
Me?
Just yes, sir. I can hear you well. We just heard from
okay,
Chris.
Good.
What is the future direction of hip hop? Back then, I want you to take me back to the past. Take me and bring me back to the present day and what you think the future looked like. You got the floor, sir.
Well, I mean, the past of hip-hop is really kind of self-explanatory. We know the rules, the principles. We know the culture, all right? And the culture, you know, MCing, beats, lines, it's conscious music. It's feel-good music. It's created, you know, by people who at a time we didn't have a voice or an outlet to speak. And today that's the number one music in the world, hip-hop. And where we are today, it's right now it's controlled by those who didn't believe in it. And we don't own nothing. That's where it is today. And
wow.
Where it's going in the future, it's going back to where it started from with a different twist. But a lot of those same principles, because you can't reinvent the wheel. You can't change the science. It is what it is. And that's hip-hop. It's coming back. That's where it's going.
All right. I'm sure Raw Dog and Twyla want to join in on that. Twyla, I'm coming to you. You have the floor.
Oh, man. I'm just listening and enjoying y'all right now. You know how I feel. It's not a secret. I mean, as far as to where it's going at, I have no idea where it's going. Because from what I'm looking at right now, from what it looks like now, it has taken a whole other turn. I mean, you don't even have to be that talented to even get into the music industry when they had talent back then that you actually knew they could sing. They didn't have all of these sound effects and these things to alter the sound of the voices and everything. And when you hear them live, you try to figure out who exactly are they. What is this? And then, like, you know, I have a problem with a lot of this stuff that they say. It has, I mean, the vulgar, you know, the cussing and all the different things. I mean, it's been a big change. And a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, like I say, they'll say, this is 2014, you know, the world is about changing. But it has changed for the worse. It has gotten worse. Yeah, they're making mega money and they're doing all of this. But, I mean, for us, the music, it has changed for the worse. And a lot of times they also say, because you was of that era, now this is a whole new time. And we're doing things like, but it has taken, to me, it's taken a horrible turn. And to look at it in the future, I can't imagine it. My mind just can't comprehend to where it would go at if it doesn't change. You know, I don't know where it would go. It's destructive. It's destructive. A lot of destructive stuff that's going on now. I mean, it's the stuff they promote and, you know. I got a problem with it. I love hip-hop. I mean, I'm a part of hip-hop. I love it, you know. And I still love the rappers, the people, and everybody that's doing it now. I just hate the fact of some of the stuff that they promote because I feel the things that they promote affect our people, our youth of today. And then with another thing, and I have a tendency to tell young people, now they'll promote violence and guns and shooting and killing, but I said those people that are promoting that will be sitting back raising their kids and possibly their grandkids. They're not engaging in that lifestyle. They're not doing that. But, yeah, they'll promote that. They'll promote all of that for our children to eat this stuff and thinking that's the way they're actually living when they don't live like that. They're basically laying back on their beaches and enjoying their wealth. And yet they promote all of this negativity and violence. And that's my big problem. And I feel like they're hurting. They're not helping. They're hurting our people. And they're hurting our children because they're eating this poison that they're promoting. But overall, I love it because I came from it. But I just wish that a change, that it would do some change and that it would do some, how you would say, some renovation, you know. I'd love to see it renovate, do some, you know, fixing, you know. But, I mean, it's what it is right now, so.
That's
so people
good
take responsibility. They take responsibility. I'm going to say this, and then I'm go back to listening. And so people take responsibility for the things they say and do, because the things that we say and do affect others, whether we want to say, oh, it's, you know, they can say what they want, they can do what they want, you ain't got to do it, you ain't got to, but it does affect us. We are affected by the things that are said and done. And they're going to have to take responsibility for it.
I agree with you. agree.
That's
and
true.
Raw Dog.
That's true.
Raw Dog, what's up, brother? I know you're ready. You've been saying, oh, man, I can't wait until she finished because I'm going to get up in there and I'm going to show them. I show out on this. Go ahead, brother.
Well,
you got the floor.
You know, hip-hop and all the music genres, except for, I'd say, classical, they're starting to all melt into one gigantic group. You know, I'm hearing the vocalist and the rapper. I'm hearing stronger and better messages on a more daily, hourly rotation on different stations. I think that, you know, that there is the underground, but I think that they're being blown away because you're having crossover. You know, I think I saw Nelly with Alabama, the Nashville group. You know, I've been noticing that they're trying to take hip-hop and work it with every genre of music, even gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start talking about hip-hop and it coming back to being a stronger, more influential mainstream, I think it's going to get there because I see that the market is being flooded with people that are giving more positive messages. You know, and I can appreciate that because they're showing that, hey, I can go further doing it the right way than trying to be explicit with my language and going another way. That doesn't mean that they can't cater to both sides, but I'm saying the mainstream is trying to give you a better side and representation of hip-hop artists. Because you can hear it almost in every city, all over the country, you know, and they can't stop it. And now they've kind of somewhat embraced it, but they're trying to control it and let you know that they've controlled it. You know, so, you know, hey, I don't think hip-hop is dying. I think that it's going across the tracks. It's breeding with all the genres. Can't throw me under the bus for that, can you?
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly where it's going right now. And, I mean, we're experimenting now in the studio with music that crosses well beyond rap into top 40, into big room, into dance, and it's still rap. And I hear it somewhat in the music industry. You hear the Katy Perry's Dark Horse. Right, you can hear the sound. You know, she's singing a rap that turns into top 40. You know, and there's other variations out there. We like to believe, of course, we're the pioneers of this, but the reality of it is that it's a movement, and there's going to be a lot of people on that page coming in the future. But for all those artists who are just doing garbage music, and I'll call it for what it is, I'm not impressed with the money behind it. To push garbage and make people think that garbage is actually successful is not. It's an illusion. It's like the Matrix. He walks in and the kid is playing with the spoon and he says, "How do you bend the spoon?" He says, "I'm not bending the spoon. The object is to only realize the truth. And what is the truth? There is no spoon. There is no top rapper. There is no top singer. The so-called top are not really top. They're just the top chosen." And the top chosen are heavily funded. And it don't matter what garbage they put out. It's going to be everywhere. And poor people with no money will gravitate towards it because it is money backed by it. That's the reality of what we're facing. But good music exists out there. I actually believe it's in the underground. I believe the underground has the freest form of expression without restrictions, without record labels telling them, no, do this or do that, or we're not signing that, or... You know, there's only 12, 15 artists on radio all day, you know, and I've just signed 30 labels in the past month. The numbers of the record labels are small, but they keep it small, but the material is trash, and nobody can get around that. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's good. I'm not going to lie and sit here and say that it is good. It is trash.
Right. Trash is trash. I think hip-hop is not dead, but I really think that it's sick. And I'll just have to put it like that. It's not I'll dead. No, it's not. It's alive, but it's not well. And that's my whole issue with it. And it's sad. It's sad because it has taken a tremendous, terrible turn, and it's really taken. And without a doubt, and we can't deny it, that it is. It will, and it has taken a toll. It will take a toll on our children that listen to it, because it does take an effect. Because they embrace these words, they listen to these lyrics, and they do, and that's, and it infiltrates their spirit. It gets into them, and they think they should have a gun on their side. Just all kinds of stuff, you know.
Let's just say they get ready to distribute this new water that's coming out, and this mm-hmm. new water, when they do it, a chemical got dropped in it by accident. But no one was aware of it. But it got hit. It got hit by accident. Now this chemical went out to millions of people. How many people is going to be affected by it? How many people going to be contaminated with it? And how many people? How many times could he say, the person who did it, say, "I apologize"? Don't get me wrong. This is, to me, that's what a CD is. When you put music on any kind of form of media and you put it out to the masses, that's what, and the message that you put out is out there. Mm-hmm. Rather you change your way of living, your lifestyle or whatever, and you told somebody to kill somebody in a song, you've mm-hmm. affected those people.
That's right.
That's what I think we need to be mindful of. This just me. To me, I said music is meant to be heard and not silenced. That is my philosophy, and mm-hmm. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
The more creative you are, which you are a creative being, is obvious. But the more clever you are in lyrical cliches and the way you design your music, if the whole world can relate to it, then you got a product. You got a product that people can relate to, and they can sell to the masses, and it can make a lifestyle for you and change the lifestyle of others.
That's true.
There you have a movement. Chris, I know you're there. I know you've been listening. I want to hear what you got to say.
He wasn't listening. He's here.
Chris wasn't listening? Oh, my God. What's going on with that brother?
You want to hear what you got to say. I'm sorry. I'm doing three things at one time and trying to, like I said, trying to take hip-hop to the next level right now.
All right. I hope one of those three things you were doing was listening.
Well, let me ask the question. How do you take hip-hop to the next level?
For me?
Yes, sir.
I mean, for anybody that's in the room, I'm just.
If it's based on me, I'm going to answer that question. So real quick, how do I take hip hop to the next level? I automatically understand and watch independence. I deal with what's going on in the streets. I concentrate on other markets that I know for a fact that I can actually go there and live. One of my principal points of engagement is. It's a Machiavelli rule, and that means if you understand the principalities, you must go there and live. So, which means every individual market across the country, I must go into those markets mm-hmm. and see and live and talk to the people, deal, touch hands, shake hands, and build relationships, build my own network, not depending on anybody else's network. You got to remember, the music industry is built on whoever's repetitious and whoever's hot is hot. And next week, somebody who's not is not. So you got to be able to create those markets and then support that. You know, one of the things that I'm known for is micro-marketing, where I automatically entail to support certain things that nobody else would support, and then build on that to where I build audiences. So that's why I said that somebody told me a long time ago, oh, you can't work that record, and it's not going to happen. And that's why Skeela was on the phone, because of the relationship that I have. You know what I'm saying? He ended up becoming a two-time Grammy nominee. You know what I'm saying? So that automatically put him in place. Now he's releasing another record. His record is generally brand new to the public. But at the same time, you know, we're pushing. We're still pushing.
Yeah.
And that's 15
but
years.
But what you're saying is that you, what you're doing, what you're saying, That's taking it to the next level.
Yes.
You're not doing just ordinarily what everybody has already done.
No, I don't concentrate on what everybody else has done, because if you look at the plastic people in the short and skinny pants, they're all doing the same thing and over, and they
right.
all sound the same. Every individual, if you look at the producers, the production is only one verse and one chorus. It's not an actual song. There's no musicians on no actual tracks anymore. You know what I'm saying? So
what makes
you
different?
You got to go back
to
the... What makes me different? I go back to the basics. I work with R&B records as well. I work country records as well. I work pop records. I work rock records. I'm not afraid to work anything that's going on. But at the same time, I bring it back to hip-hop. The same country records I use, I go back and see if I can get the artist to come and give me some riffs and some plays and play on my record. Or I sit and go get Faith Evans to do something else, and I grab new artists that automatically generate a new sound to support old artists. I'm dealing with the old school. You know what I'm saying? I don't forget where I come from, so automatically I promote the old school and the new school. So when it comes down, what makes me different, like I said, I don't concentrate on what the masses are doing. The industry's going to always be the industry. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to change. It's like the concrete blocks on the street. When you sit on them corners and you understand where I'm coming from, you hustle. Them same hustles gonna always be there, and then it's gonna recycle the same block. They might go, they might leave, they might go to jail, but that block is still there. That concrete is still there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing when it comes down to that theory. When you see something, you gotta automatically acknowledge that it's hot. Don't be afraid to tell somebody that the music is good. Don't be afraid to tell somebody that it needs to be something new. It needs to be built on something new. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't like it. And don't be afraid to say that the reason why you don't like it, because at the same time, constructive criticism is going to be able to make you better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And don't be afraid not to sit there and support something to the next level. You got to be able to support new artists. That's what I'm saying. Don't be afraid of that. And a lot of cats get so caught up. If you don't say something to me, a lot of cats get nervous and they sit there and they automatically, you know, they look at the situation and say that we're afraid to do or open up the door for somebody new. Let's bring these artists up. I think there's no check and balance anymore. At one point in time that you know doing hip hop. When it comes down to rap artists itself, there used to be a way to where you had to authenticate what you do and how you do. You had to go sit in the cypher and go rap against some of those hottest artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You had to go against the hottest freestyle MC to sit there and get some credit on the street.
That's
you know what I'm saying? There is none of that no more.
Because they needed to know what you had in you. They really
right, exactly.
needed to know.
It's the same
they need
thing
to know that you ain't just jotting everything down, that it's really in your head, like you really... You really
right,
got it.
and you're telling the truth. And then when it comes down to what's going on in the marketplace, the people who are working the records don't know how to work records anymore. So that means that stagnates the artists as well. So that means everything that they're doing is not real. So everybody's looking for a check, but get off your butts and then automatically make a check happen. Don't sit and depend on somebody to give you something. Go out there and go make it happen. That's how it goes down. That's the only way you're going to build any kind of interest right now with any label or anything that's going on in the streets. You got to be able to build from within. You got to be able to make that happen, stand as a foundation, as a company. You feel me?
I feel you.
Now, I think I said enough. I can go for hours about this because hip-hop is, I love hip-hop. I am hip-hop. I am history of hip hop. So every record that you want to call out right now, as far as hip hop is concerned, 90% of it, I probably worked the record.
All right. Well, let's talk. Let's go to Raw Dog. Raw Dog, I know you've been listening. Go ahead, sir. What you got for me? What you got for me?
He's not wrong because that's the way. He works it, and that's the way he sees it. And I respect that, you know, because it takes that type of passion and energy and believing and knowing, you know, hey, how to do. You know, well, I'm older, so I look at it different. I'm training young producers. I'm pulling in the old musicians and what have you, and they're teaching some of the young musicians, and I'm taking tracks and making it from what I get from them and the young ones, you know. And I'm trying to get them to understand how to control their path in this hip-hop game. Because, you know, I understand everything. You know, I understand what he's saying. But, you know, on the other side, producing and what have you, if you have a complete package and you have a stable, I'm talking about a stable of your Rolodex, you can say, this bass player, he's got Bootsy's flavor. I think we're going to do a cut like that. And you teach the young people how to compose and put it together. And then you try to teach them that, okay, you know, you can reach a few people or you can reach a majority of people.
Right.
You know, because of what you put into that record. Now, you know, it's not discouraging someone that wants to use explicit lyrics, but it's also taking that same person and saying, okay, let's take out those explicit lyrics and see how good of a song that you're creating. Can everybody listen to it? Because I want to make everybody's money. I just don't want to make one person's money, you know? And I guess because I'm old enough and I'm settled enough and I got, you know, that side of it taken care of, I'm not in that race. You can't take it with you, but I'm comfortable at where I'm at. So I can do that trying to promote hip-hop and getting these young folks to another level so hip-hop has a higher class rating. Because I think there's nothing wrong with hip-hop. It's just that those that are supposedly in the hip-hop culture need to understand they can be respected citizens just like everybody else. You see, you know, we ask what happened to the hippies during the psychedelic era. Well, now, they're running the country. They're your statesmen. They're, you know, how do we get a law for marijuana to be legalized if the hippies didn't put on suits, go to work, keep their voting rights, and bam, they got what they wanted. Now, the hip-hop culture got to do the same thing.
There you go.
You see, because guess what? It's in the message. It's in the character, you know, and I understand all of that. But you see, there's a time to stand, there's a time to protest, there's a time to educate, and there's a time to elevate. They can all be programmed in hip-hop music. I'm just not trying to make the money. I'm trying to make the dream come true. I'm trying to make it go on so that, hey, it doesn't disintegrate. You know, remember, hey, the hippies, psychedelic, drugs, okay? I don't want hip-hop to have that legacy. I don't want it to be those of the drugs, the killings, and all of that to be laid upon hip-hop. I don't hear that laid upon R&B. I don't hear that laid upon on country western or rock and roll. You know, I do hear it in jazz, you know, that drugs and jazz back in the bebop era, that was they mixed. That was the culture. Well, I don't think hip-hop culture started out for it to be of killing and hustling drugs and all of that. They have tried to make it as a reflection of this is the hip-hop culture. So by teaching and elevating and motivating and understanding, hey, yes, you can love hip-hop.
Well, that's the only way it can go to that next level.
Yeah, but you have to, but see, guess what? They've already pictured hip-hop as having all the negative points of how the young folks are acting. Because remember, they put gangster rap into hip-hop.
I know.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, is gangster rap really hip-hop or is it just gangster rap?
Just gangster rap.
Okay, but they mixed it together.
Yeah.
So guess what? Hip-hop didn't have killing. It had standing up. It had pride. It had all of those. It had love. It had misunderstandings. It had it had its own funny conclusions that it gave you a point to think. Well, let's take it back there. Let's give them the ability to play it in the park and offend no one. Let's have them be able to play it, and grandma's sitting there going, "That's my baby on that." You see what I'm saying? So that's where I'm coming from in trying to educate with my studio and producing and what have you. And, yeah, these young folks try to run products out the door, and I trip them before they go and say, not yet. You haven't learned anything. Where's the copyright? What are you planning on doing with that? Don't you think it needs to be remixed? Don't you think you can do that better? See, you know, so that my way might be slow.
So who do you think can take it to that next level? Like, take it to that level. Who's the one that you think that will be responsible to take it to that? Who is it?
Oh, I got
who are the ones that you
in my camp, boy, I tell you. You know what? Never give up on the young.
Yeah, no. No, I agree with you. I mean, never give up on them. I wouldn't give up on them. But it's just the fact of they saying taking it to this next level. But who's taking it there? And what equipment that you're going to use to get it to where it needs to go? Because, you know, like just like with Chris Lee says, Chris, he was like saying, you know, the ambition and all of that. But a lot of those people have all of that, even in the industry. I mean, it's, you know, having all of that and not stopping, I'm keep moving, I'm getting this, I'm getting that. But that they have all of that. And yet we still see what we see in the industry and in the hip-hop and in the music industry. We see all of the stuff is on. So it's not coming from the ambition and all of that. It's coming from what they're doing and who's going to really, what are they going to do different to take it to that next level, to change it from where it's at. That's what I'm truly trying to understand. I understand you clearly, and I understand what you're saying is saying that you're going to do something to take it to that next level. And that makes sense to me.
I give you an example. Boys to Men,
mm-hmm.
R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Two different people, groups, singing in the same genre. And R. Kelly has a message that you wouldn't let your young children listen to.
Right.
Boys to Men, everyone listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, there's always going to be room for the two sides. I understand what you're saying. But you fight the power with good, with bad, with risque. Because guess what? You have the freedom of speech.
Right.
Okay, so the only thing we can do is your money would be chosen for you, and you might select to buy Boys to Men. And there's going to be those that would prefer R. Kelly.
That's
the way it's been, and that's the way
it's
always going
to be. There's a time for everything. Didn't you say that? There's a time for this, a time for that. Well, there's a time to go to a break. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. What is the future direction of hip hop? I love where it's going, guys, and I'd like to hear more, definitely. So we'll be back in a moment. Y'all stay with us.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your hip hop national news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and we just came back from the break. I wanted to say this, Rawdog, you brought up some very interesting points. And definitely the one that the analogy that you made of R. Kelly and Boyz II Men, you're right, I have to say. R. Kelly did have some good songs, and have some of them you connect with, and it made a major impact. But the one, but overall, his message in his song, there's so many that you won't want your kids to listen to. Was Boys to Men was right middle of the road, and it did, and it carried on leaps and bounds in areas where R. Kelly would definitely not be sold. And they, and I mean, to me, you made a very good statement there. And yes, I like to see it get back to that. But I also, don't get me wrong, I do support the expression. There's a market for everything. You just got to know what you're marketing, how you're marketing, and who you're marketing it to. And if you want to be, if you want boundaries on what you do, continue doing it the way you're doing it. But remember the stipulation is, it is your music is not going to travel as far as fast. That's just my opinion, and I know I'm about to get some flack. So the first person on phone I'm going to open up is Raw Dog. Raw Dog, you ready? Go.
Yep. Hey, you know what? See, the thing about it is that the freedom of speech is how hip-hop has been able to be edgy. You know, and the thing about it is that that allowed it to continue the way it has gone. Does that mean that it's right? No, that just means it's catch-22 and okay. You get the lyrics that are explicit and what have you. But that, now, the one thing they did do, they said, well, if you're going to sell this, you must have that on the CD so that it, you know, parental advisory and all of those things are there. And my understanding was that in a music store, if it was someone underage, they couldn't buy it, at least up here in Washington State, okay? Now, I don't know if that goes where you are in Florida, Poetic, or not, but that's the way that went, you know. So, you know, the only thing I can tell you is that that's why we have so many radio channels and all of this and all of that. Because, okay, if you choose to do that, just like alcohol, if you choose to drink, it's there. If you choose not to drink, it's not there. Just like in Washington State, everybody's at a vacation up here. If they choose to go to the marijuana store when they open and buy marijuana and smoke it, okay. And if they choose not to, okay. So what happened is that you're getting a more liberal society. Even though we're getting older and we see it one way and we see it as, you know, having an effect and generating a bad influence on a young generation, as parents we have to be stronger. As parents we have to be able to take the time and say right, wrong, classless or inappropriate, you know, understanding, giving the children the understanding of how to respect, okay? And, you know, that will fight some of the temptations. But, you know, as I know, Poetic was brought up with very good parents that loved him dearly. He still went to the strip clubs. Now, would I go to the strip clubs? No.
I know good well that man just called me out on national.
Did I ever go to the strip club once?
I mean, what?
Hold on, wait a minute now.
What type
I'm
of healing
you
would do something like that?
Of being going to the strip club. Yes, I did go. I went to a strip club when I was young, and I looked around and I said, wow.
Me too.
I looked around and I said,
wow.
But listen to what she's saying. Like, you think about the strip club. Mostly everybody that's in a strip club is grown. It's
okay,
not like they're walking up and down the street for everybody to see them.
Okay,
but
and you're right. And the thing about it, I did. I went in, and just like you guys heard me, I said, wow. And then I realized, you know,
yeah,
the influence and what I saw as the character of a male.
Yeah.
If they would have took a picture of all the men in the room and without the women in it, I didn't want to see myself in that picture because we looked ridiculous.
Right.
See, the catch to it is you have to see the picture that you're in to understand how you look in that environment, in that situation. You know, what type of man are you? This is somebody's daughter up on here. Okay, what if you're 21? That's still someone's daughter.
That's
you're falling for everything that can be put in front of you. You're not standing to be without, you know, the influences of what you're seeing, and do you like the group of men that you're with in the club? No. You know, it what you going to talk about? What you going to do? I mean, I couldn't figure it out. So guess what? Once was enough for me.
Okay. That's all right.
You know, so when we talk about this hip-hop game.
I ain't got nothing to say to that. I really don't.
We'll keep moving. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I swear I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. But you better leave me alone. throw you under the bus.
I was hoping your brother would call back in. That was just to let you guys know. I don't know if y'all remember the American rapper Ski-Lo. That was the dude who just he called in, and he was outside of the West Coast, part of the West Coast movement too. I don't know if you guys remember him. Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully they call back in. But meanwhile, we just got to keep it moving here, buddy. That's just how it goes. Now I gotta ask you guys, let's go to the four elements just for a second. Do you remember, Raw Dog? I don't know how it was over there on the West Coast here, but on the East Coast, I got to be honest with you. What hip hop brought was it was kind of fun, feel entertainment for some people. It was that a little bit of rebellious side of everything. It really was a rebellious movement in a sense when the graffiti had came in and. People start, they were painting on trains and all of that stuff. For the kids, it's kind of fun. But it was part of our culture then. That's when that hip-hop movement was a part. It was beginning to kind of take effect in our community. The graffiti was a part of that. Do you guys recall that?
Yeah.
You mean tagging and disrespecting other people's property? And I remember it because guess what? I had two rental houses, and I woke up on a Saturday morning with a big-ass mural on the side of it, and I had to change my plans. And if I'd have caught the little cat that would have done it, he wouldn't have been in hip-hop culture. He'd have been on the end of my foot. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
I vented.
And then eventually, do you recall when it turned into you start seeing them do everywhere? They would do these battle dancing instead of fighting, break dancing hit a part of that movement, and everybody was battling each other in a dance.
Okay,
and
can I ask you a question? Was that a male thing or a female thing?
It was a female and male thing.
It was both. Right. I can't believe
okay, because, see, I'm on the West Coast now. Y'all on the East Coast.
Well, they used, the females was on BET doing it, and I know you've seen BET.
The females were on BET doing it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I saw movies
where they were breakdancing and they had a female in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to remember something now. In the 1980, cable came to the area I lived in 1981.
Wow.
Country.
This is the city. No, but see, there's the evolution of communication on the East Coast and the West Coast. Remember, they didn't have one monopoly of cable providers. They had it
in sections. Cable been out. Longer than that.
Yeah, but they had it in the section.
Wow.
See,
I mean, this was out in the 70s.
Now here's something I want to say to you guys, and I don't want you to forget this.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys have ever traveled towards the West Coast, but remember that phrase, the Wild Wild West, the the undiscovered West. Remember, the East Coast was populated, and then they had the gold rush where the people were rushing out to the West Coast trying to gold mine. They had already had cities established on the East Coast. Now, you got to start thinking about how old the East Coast is compared to the development of the West Coast. And I'm not saying we're primitive, but I'm saying that we still have areas that people don't live in, that they have nothing but trees and stuff for miles and miles. I mean, we have what we call areas that need development. Okay? So now,
that's,
if you
that's,
take...
That's where you at now. That's your state, your current state.
No, I'm on the I-5 corridor. But if you go east of the I-5 corridor, all the way down through Washington, Oregon, and California, you'll find there's nothing, no one living in that area.
I live in a city, and I got to be honest with you, the only place where there's nowhere living is out there in the Everglades.
Yeah.
Far west.
You're totally populated. Whereas what I'm trying to tell you is that, okay,
so
I hear what you're saying.
The movement of music came faster in an environment like ours. That's what you're saying. That's all you're
saying.
Yes. Yeah.
You finally got it.
I understand that. I understand
that.
That's
okay.
Definitely.
Now, here's something I'm going to ask you. Don't let me ask Twyla. Do you know anything about Zydeco music, Twyla?
Twyla?
Huh?
Okay.
Do you know anything about Zydeco music?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
You two are closer to Louisiana than I am.
Zydeco. I never heard of that.
Zydeco music has existed in Louisiana for decades. Have you ever seen a guy with a metal type front on? And it's like a washboard, and he's doing rhythms with that, with something rubbing. No, listen to this. Listen to
that. Yeah.
Okay, that's Zydeco music. Those are Zydeco musicians.
You talking about with this scrub thing that they scrub clothes with?
Well, no, it's actually a they wear it on their body. I know you're talking about the old scrub board.
Scrub board, yeah.
But it's not like that. It's a silver. It's just silver with the same type of ripples on it, and they make rhythms on it, and they do it with the music from New Orleans, the jazz.
Okay.
But it's called Zydeco music. See, so just being in a territory
heard of it.
I was, you know, we know about it up here, whereas
I know what you're talking about. I never heard of it in that name, but I remember that. Yes.
It goes on daily down in New Orleans. Don't remember it's an influence down there. It's part of their culture, and so that is something you can hear musicians in the club, and they playing Zydeco music. So that's why I was asking you guys that, because, see, different regions have had different influences.
The thing it is, Rodolfo, to be honest with you, you're in an area where music is not filtered through first. That's all. And by the time you guys get it, it done already fizzled out.
But you're right on that. But then guess what?
Yeah. By the time you get it, you're in a region where it didn't already did what they expected it to do, as far as the money wise. And unless it's got some serious shelf life, then you're sitting on it in your community. But it's not going to get filtered through you guys first, because
I can't say that. And you know why?
Why?
Because we've had, like, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and we've had Macklemore. See, so, and
now,
we've had...
But the reason why Macklemore... Wait, Raw Dog. You got to
I said
understand.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
But the reason why they were filtered through you guys first and sampled through you, because it was being sampled in its own backyard. And usually
but listen,
that's what they...
No. You know what I was
going to
say? What I was going to say is if you know Sir Mix-a-Lot, I like Big Butt, and, you know, and you have listened to Macklemore, you know, the Thrift Shop, you find out that they fit a certain pattern. They're whimsical. And because they're whimsical and non-offensive, they shot right through.
Oh, without a doubt. But, I mean, you're only telling me how music moves, and really that's exactly how it moves. It's good.
Right,
gonna
but
sell.
Then we have our own region
of... Remember, you know, you told me Macklemore stayed, what, six blocks away from here or something?
Yeah.
So guess what? They're going to try Macklemore. They're going to drop Macklemore, and you're going to hear it before anybody else because he's right down your backyard.
Okay, but
the first thing,
but
the
when
first
I,
thing
we're talking
Macklemore
about
wanted to do is hear it on his
point.
Radio station first.
Yeah, but see, that's why I'm saying nationally now, there is a formula that they're allowing to get through fast. And that's the catch to it, is that, they were talking about, you know, who is in charge and allowing hip-hop to be heard, which is the in the music industry. And what's happened is that they're only allowing certain people that apply to a national formula. See, it's harder for those that have certain lyrics that are not in their blueprint of the possibility of being embraced by a mass group, the public. See, whereas Macklemore and Sir Mix-a-Lot, they were embraced by a mass group of consumers. Because how could you get mad at the thrift store, and I went there and I spent $20 because I was trying to come up? And then the point of Sir Mix-a-Lot, I like Big Butts. Well, okay, it just told the truth a lot of the men that weren't saying out loud.
I agree.
So
let's move on through some of these other elements because I wanted to cover some. I want to take you guys in a direction, and then you guys tell me what you see coming from it, because there was a growth. This is what I'm trying to tell you. There was a growth that hip hop had in its phases of time over the decades. Hip hop went from the breakdancing, part of the movement that really made it fun and entertaining. And that was a way to, at that time, to kind of stop the violence a little bit. I don't know if y'all remember the movement, Stop the Violence, of when the rappers all came together to stop the violence that was taken between East Coast and West Coast. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Do you know why?
Do you remember that? You say you don't remember?
Yeah, but do you know why they did that?
No, I'm talking about Twyla. Twyla, you say
yes,
you don't, or you
oh,
do?
Oh, yes. I do.
I
remember.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And they used, don't get me wrong, they used the music. They used the music to empower it.
Yeah.
But you know why, don't you?
Why?
Because it wasn't rappers shooting each other. It was gang affiliations that represented themselves
I totally
to the artists
that.
That was killing the different rappers.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. But what did they use to get the message out? To create
hey, this
the
is
message?
Not real.
Say it again?
This is just a conversation. That's all that they did. They just said, hey, guess what? You're taking this stuff too far.
Yeah.
I'm not painting a bullseye on me for you to come and get me. It's just, it was just a song. It was just a conversation. And then a lot of them stopped doing that. You know, did Tupac shoot Biggie? No. Did Biggie shoot Tupac? No. It was other people exploiting this point of that hit, that East Coast, West Coast thing. Snoop Dogg came out and said, we need to squash this. See, you know. So, yeah, hey, you know, I appreciate what they were doing. They saved their own lives.
Okay.
Don't you
and
think?
Then, oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Then you had then you had the DJs. And Radar, we spoke a little bit earlier about this, and I was just trying to get over to you the role, how it all came together like a puzzle, that the DJs helped propel the music throughout different regions. But you said that it never really occurred in your region. Is that correct?
Well, see, you know, disco killed live music. Okay? And that was the DJ. Okay? Then disco died and live music came back. And, you know, now, you know, with the rap and what have you, I only saw in small venues, you know, because you have to remember the equipment, the development of the DJ's equipment so that he could be an influence in clubs or in a concert. They started developing that around, what, 1985? So they could do a big venue, you know. But you got to remember, what was the equipment like that that the DJs had at their disposal that would allow them to do other than a club, a smaller club venue or a party, you know, that existed?
Okay, Twyla. You're somewhere on the sideline.
Yeah.
I know you're there, but we're gonna hear from you. What's your thought, Hot Twat? Is Twyla still with us? Oh, Rondo, I can't believe it. We put her to sleep. But that's all right. Let's keep it moving. Anyway. but Rondo, okay, then now, do you remember when the clothing and the attire started to represent the culture, the fashions?
My daughter told me.
Now, with that said, when the fashions came in, so did the egos. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And the egos, and this is where I see that I'm just taking you guys on a journey with me, the way I saw things. The fashion came in, the egos, what the style of clothes I wear, the style of shoes I wear, the chains I wear, all of that came into play, which became a discrepancy sometimes in the school. It wasn't meant to be negative, and it wasn't negative, by the way. It was really, hey, look at me, I'm on the come up. And many people took it that way. Eventually, the egos came in, and it was, I'm fly, I'm this, I'm that, and it was always more or less about me. And that's where hip-hop went to. It became, to me, it became a selfish drive. That's just my opinion. I'm not telling that this is the world. I'm telling you my opinion. And they started missing the point of value in which music was being adding to the culture itself, such as, don't get me wrong, and I can always lean on, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. That was something of value. Gave us content. Gave us empowerment.
Right.
Then you had Dear Mama. When I was young, me and my mama had me 17 years old. Remember that?
Yeah.
Those kind of songs carry a legacy that you'll probably always be able to reflect back on. But when all you talk about is the cars and the rims, and then the next song that comes out talk about the cars, the rims, and the chains, and the next song that comes out is talking about the new shoes that just came out on the watch car, how can you really say that that's going to have standing power?
No, you can't. You can't. You hit the nail on the head.
I mean, hey, this is my opinion. Now give me yours. I'm talking to you, starting with you, Rodon, and Twyla. When you come on, Just lower your TV for me, baby, please. Go ahead, Rod. Out.
No TV
yeah.
on. I mean, the TV on, but it's turned turned down. But I'm in here with my sister and my niece just came in, so that's what you hear down. I'm going to have to turn them down.
Oh, turn them down. Okay.
Okay.
Tell me, give me your opinion about what you saw in those days of how when it started hitting into the fashion and then the ego started to come into play. What did you see?
Uh-oh. I guess. Well, it didn't drop. Well, let me finish that for you. Egos and what have you. No money's going to be spent on that because, hey, guess what? You know, someone talking
about... Well, money has been spent, but Rado, money was spent on these CDs.
Yeah, okay, well, money's going to be spent on anything.
Okay.
You know, people make foolish investments
I'm
all the time.
I'm just talking about the shelf life of it.
There is none.
And why do you
there
say
is
that?
None.
Why do you say that?
Because after a certain point, you want to keep hearing about somebody else and how great they are and what have you. Let me tell them how great that song was, like a Teddy Pendergrass, or how great a Luther was, or, you know, a Barry White, or, you know, a Lionel Richie. How many of you want me to keep telling you how great they were? You know, see, so
why do you think, why do you think Rapid Delight still have its life?
They were innovative. I mean, you know, the first to do anything is going to have its mark in history. You know, the rest that follow are just followers, you know. But those that are the originals, like a Michael Jackson, a James Brown, you know, there was a Bill Cochran who was the white James Brown. You never heard of him, did you?
Sure.
You ever heard of Bill Cochran?
I heard of Ron Cochran.
I said Bill. See, you ain't never heard of him. Just goes to show you, a copy is a copy, and he don't get too far.
Yeah,
he had a group called the CC Riders. He was the white James Brown, and I have his album from back in the day. That's how far he did not go. Okay, so when we start talking about copies and what have you, hey, that's just a form of flattery. The originals, they're going to stand out because they took the time and the courage to be innovators, to be leaders. And that's just the way that goes, you know. Now, you know what? We're running into the music zone.
Okay, yes, we are, Rondo. Just to let you guys know, please upload your music at www.hiphopnational.com. We are also promoting our mixtape. We want to get you guys involved. We want your music to be a part of it as we take on the new our new mixtape by storm. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Dr. A.T. Rodall, take it away.
God bless.
This is Dr. Ray T, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix. You have the number one hip hop station on the planet. We play the unsigned and independent artists from around the world, from every genre of music. To get your submission heard, send your radio MP3 file to www.hiphopnational.com.
Dr. A.T.
Number one hip hop station on the planet.
Dr. A.T. Dr. A.T. Dr. A.T.
Next on deck, one more round.
Go. M.R.A.
Hey. Look good, feel good, yeah, that's success. Step through the door, I ain't got no more stress. Nothing on my mind, having a good time. Loved ones all around me, leave your worries behind. smile for me, baby, even if you had your worst day. Shots all around, I know it's someone's birthday. But yeah, I got my family in here. You feeling alright, then put your glasses in the air. Yeah, we make a toast to the good life. Party is a job, then I'ma work it all night. And let's party like we stars and they kick us out. Drink liquor till the bar runs out. Yeah, live for the moment, not knowing where it takes me. Don't matter where I end up, just get home safely. Mr. Club Owner, don't shut this down. Cause the night is still young, I need one more crowd. Party people here tonight, put your hands up high. You leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night. We party like we famous till they kick us out. But my party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round. One more round, one more round.
One more, let's go.
One more round. Bass in the speakers, beating all your pain away. Dance up your problems, sweating out the bad days. Feeling so right, at an all-time best. Looking so nice in your brand new dress. I wanna have a good night with all my friends. Can we make it last forever? And don't forget, smile every time when I'm taking my pics. Cause I'm blessed, never thought life would end up like this. I got a pocket full of sorrows, pillow for tomorrow. Got my pain in this bottle, I'll be finished when it's hollow. And pour shots till they get the last drop. Then the party don't stop till they calling the cops. Yeah, stress free living, but now that we living, got the bottles on ice, we VIP chilling. But yeah, and tonight is the night, but tell me how you feeling. Just one more, feel it. All these people here tonight, put your hands up high.
Hands up high.
Leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night.
Hell of a night.
We party like we famous till they kick us out.
Kick us out.
But my party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round.
Round, round.
One more. What about you? The night's still young, girl, what should we do? Call up your friends and tell them come through. And we'll do this every night like deja vu. I don't wanna go home, what about you? The night's still young, girl, what should we do? Call all your friends up and tell them come through. And do this every night like deja vu. Party people here tonight, put your hands up high. Leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night. We party like we famous till they kick us out.
Kick us out.
But my party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round.
One more round.
One more round. One more round.
Next on deck, I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on.
Like a pill, riding real slow. Got a pocket full of bro, trying to turn it into show. I'm a D-boy, doing what the D-boys do. Riding round off the drink, so listen to screw. I do the fool, swanging, hogging up the lane. I do it for them boys with the candy on the train. With the real big rim, car sitting tall. Flip down screens, hit the button and they fall. If you fall like I fall, your wrist is icy. When they see them diamonds shining, I think they like me. It's a game time thing, and you already know. I stay stunting, haters mad cause they watching me glow. I got my swagger right, check, game tight, check. When I'm chopping through the city, everybody break their neck. I'm swinging to the left, I'm swinging to the right. Then I slow down my swing and let them spin at the light. I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging.
Get your swing on.
screens flipping, swerving in and out of lanes. It's your boy Scotty Pippen, still sipping on yak, still blazing up a sack, still riding in the lack with the roof pushed back, coming down like a hog, chopping and swinging, 18s in the trunk, and I'm keeping them banging. Ain't no windows tinted, you can see me in it. Don't put the rims on it without TVs in it. We ain't new to this, we've been doing this here for moons. I'm a game time player, I run around with tycoons. I'm swinging, grip, grip, gripping on the grain. I'm swinging, paint drip, dripping in the lane. I'm swinging, rims still spinning like whoa. When I pull off, the rims start moving real slow. When I'm in your city, you gotta watch me glow. Nebraska on the plates and I represent the O. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swinging, get your swing on, get your swing on. Get your swing on, I'm swing. Get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm from the bed, we started off with Dayton's and Bowles. Now it's candy paint blades and them pop-up doughs. In my city, if you're ballin', you gotta ride clean. If you're riding on rims, then you gotta watch screens. When I pull up at the lights, my rims don't stop. When I'm riding up the block, my rims gon' chop. I'm the MVP, I'm the player of the game. In the slab coming down, paint drippin' in the lane. If you ride shiny clean, then you're doing your thing. I blow the horn when I pass, I'm respecting your swing. I see you, player, go ahead, do what you do. When I ride by the stunner, I'ma chuck him a deuce. It's an Omaha thing, go on swing, go on swing. You got diamonds in your chain, let them hang, let them hang. This is for the players that be keeping it real. Pop your collar with me, pimpin', and show me your grill. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. I'm swing, get your swing on, get your swing on. Get your swing on. I'm swinging. Get your swing on. Get your swing on.
Yes, yes, yes. It is spotlight time here at Hip Hop National Radio. Yeah, I said it. Spotlight time. It is my pleasure. Drum roll, please. Take it away.
Yo, what's up? This is Gabby Cashman. It's about to go down right here, right now, since debuting my new song, Red Lipstick and the AK. It's available now on iTunes. You can also hear more of my music at my official website, GabbyCashman.com. Drop that.
Yo, to make it today as a woman, you gotta be tough, sexy, street smart, and educated. Let me show you how I do it.
Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes like so rich. Cornbread country girl, thick in the hip.
Running the beat with an AK flow. It's a hijack, everybody hit the flow. I'm really that dope and I'm really that cold. Hit the first line, they already sold. She so slick, I'ma unload. First word, bro, that wanna get bold. They lay away much, they some hoe. Winning, they zero. Kill, kill that show, get that dough. They know that I'm next to blow. Play with fire, you get burned. I'm the best thing you gon' learn. And I gotta teach ya. This is so breezy, but I will go easy. I know God has my, but I got that asthma. It's something expensive, pushing on the gas, huh? Y'all know the drill, y'all know the deal. When I grab the wheel, okay, it gets real. The money talks, then I can back it up. And I can be walking and y'all ain't catching up. Cause I stay 100 feet ahead of the curveball. When y'all wanna hear, you know who to call.
Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich. Cornbread country girl, thick in the hip. Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich.
Screaming out yellow, standing on the hood. I don't like to brag, but I'm looking good. Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes like so rich. Cornbread, country girl, six in the hip. Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes like so rich. Cornbread, country girl, six in the hip.
Next on deck, The Dreamer.
You go. What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my single debut, Give Him Praise, and you heard it first on Hip Hop National Radio. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater. Nah. Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? Right. You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Hey. Ain't no coincidence like rocks is a rocks paper. Is a only paper. One that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in this prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Hey. Jesus Christ came to die. Hey. Love will make Marines holler. Hoorah, simplify. Hey. He got that power. Much more than kind. Hey. Jesus ain't alive. It's just something that me kind. For your homie, Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely. Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy, gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, and don't forget it like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Confess the back, flee from the devil, that's what he owes me. Like the fact that I'm saved, I believe cause Christ told me. Can't wait to see his hands, they still holy. Yeah. From hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul. He did it out the love of his heart, he never owed me. And that's why I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me. Now check me out. Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. I get a little praise. Yeah. Pay attention, start repeating, yeah. It's the end, yeah. Of days. Yeah. Get down, yeah. On your knees, let, yeah. Him know that he's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. Hey. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Yeah. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Yeah. Get down on your knees. Omega the creator, yeah. To find a way maker on top and ungreater, right. To throw to Satan, there's a lion full-fledged hater, okay. He can hate all he wants but can't stop God's favor. See God can make it possible. So how could, okay. You believe on what them doctors do, yeah. Working in a hospital, okay. Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of, right. You a filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through, serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you, yeah. If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust, okay. The Lord. He will meet your every need, humble cry. To the Lord, he did more. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Yeah. Pay attention, yeah. Start repeating, it's the end of days. Yeah. Get down, yeah. On your knees, let, yeah. Him know that he's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. Hey. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Yeah. Pay attention, start repeating, it's the end of days. Yeah. Get down, yeah. On your knees, let him know that he's amazing.
Next on deck, Angel.
Play your music. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, she got my attention. So I just look and listen. Wishing I was the one to put her in a good position. But I guess she got her while her mind was still in good condition. And I ain't hating, I'm just saying it was real. Someone with her, but nobody else is paying the bill. And I wanna know how did this happen early. She ain't even tapping 30. She made her bed, but that don't mean she like her mattress dirty. Never see attitude, only see gratitude. So honestly, sweetie, I can't even be mad at you. Do what you have to do if you believe in it. But I swear that bed don't even look like you can sleep in it. But if you good, then I want out. Still wishing that somehow I can give you what you deserve from that sunrise to that sundown. Cause they don't make them like you, babe, there's no lie. Two chains, they should call you Angel for your new name. Cause you made me feel. Yeah.
told his mom she loved him because he didn't abort him. He just wanted attention, being somebody fiction, and did her dirty so much it was almost like an addiction. Knew she would be his wife no matter how he was living. Asked me to take him in so his mama wouldn't enlist him. No, it's nothing against him, homie just wouldn't listen. Took advantage of something that most of us wasn't getting. I was begging somebody to give me a full commitment. She was doing his laundry and washing all of his dishes. Ain't no reason for cheating, I was the one who didn't. But he's the one with a chick that'll put 1,000% in. He kept doing the dirty until she finally caught him. Cause he thought that she bought it a lesson that she had taught him. I'm just glad that it's over, but never should have just started. Cause my best friend coming straight out of Trinity Garden. Cause you make me feel.
Of Raw Dog Production. I'm Dr. AT, damn it.
I'm Dr. AT, damn it.
I wonder if some program directors at the radio stations gonna show me some love and put me in rotation. Without having to dig deep into my pockets, I'm a hustler, but it still don't mean that I got it. I wonder if the streets gon' feel me, and if I get shot, and I wonder if God gon' heal me. I wonder if I'ma die before I get rich, cause I'm chasing a dream. I wonder if my girl really love me, and think the world love me, and put nobody else above me. I wonder if I'm living a lie, and if I'm platinum plaque. Ain't nothing but mirages in the sky. I wonder if I'm realer than real, and in the heat of the moment, would I freeze it? I wonder if I'm writing my last 16, and if so, press rewind so you can see what I mean. I wonder. I wonder if God gon' punish me for trying to feed my family. This is real as the kids, G.
I'm not drinking, damn it.
I'm I wonder if they just trying to make a dollar, sacrifice a million blacks for one Rhodes scholar. I wonder if my kids know I love them to death, and I'ma stay on the grind till my very last breath. I wonder if we in heaven or hell, and if I get down on the block again, hustling with they running tail. I wonder if we gotta sell our souls just to move a few.
This is Dr. Ray T, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In The Mix. We are the number one hip hop station on the planet. We play the unsigned and independent artists from around the world, from every genre of music. To get your submission heard,